Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Nutrafol. I am so excited to start their program and get thicker, stronger hair. Super excited. I'll tell you guys about it later. Give you a promo code, a little discount. You know what I'm saying? How you guys doing? How are you? Guess what? It's my birthday in like a week and a half. I'm getting super old, but feel pretty good, you know? Feel getting the B12 shots. Whew. I mean, I've never done crack, but man, I imagine that's what it feels like. I feel like I'm on fire afterwards. I'm like, B12 shot? All right, for 3 days, watch out. I'll be working out. I'll be cleaning frantically. I'll be getting a lot of work done. I don't know. Not encouraging any drug use. Don't do drugs. But B12, hitting that. I want to thank you guys just for listening and being so awesome. You know, I adore you so much. And I know it might seem small, but it really helps the show. If you leave a 5-star rating and positive review, not only does it make me feel awesome, but it really does help the show and keep it going. And and I just want to keep putting out the best content I can, finding interesting guests. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I think maybe it's like, I wonder if it's confusing for people. Sometimes they're like, you're a stand-up comedian. Like, why are you covering some heavy topics sometimes? Or why are you getting so deep about things? It's like, you know, I don't need to be like a court jester all the time. I like learning about new people and new and interesting things. And I think that's important. And my guest today, Tatiana Taylor, is part of that learning, getting to know new people, and just trying to have a better understanding of other people's experiences and struggles. Tatiana Taylor is the host of a dating podcast called Cats and Dogs. Her podcast focuses on she's a male co-host, a black female and black male dating in New York City. But Tatiana Taylor is the first of my guests that are just people that, you know, I've connected with on Instagram and whatever, that I want to learn more about what her experience, what your experience is of being a woman or man of color. I've had plenty of, you know, women or men of color on my podcast before, but like, I guess this specific format is just being like, tell me what your experience is. I want to hear it. I want to know what maybe I wouldn't know, what it's like on a day-to-day basis, a day in the life of a, you know, woman of color. Like, what little things do I not know? What is it like to go to a job interview and have to think about the way you do your hair? She explains that. What is it like to have an incident where you need to call the cops and they basically ignore you, or having a young 6-year-old son that you know that you're going to have a difficult conversation with one day, perhaps, about these experiences? But Tatiana is like super, super positive. I mean, there was a few times, even in all honesty, where I was like, I like wanted her to be like, yeah, that really sucked. But she was like, you know what? It's like, it's fine. I get over it. And like, and I was just so impressed. And she gives really incredible insight on, you know, how certain groups of people, maybe a white woman in a relationship, she can be like, oh, the crazy one. It's just like, oh, I love crazy chicks. But she explains that, like, you know, when a black woman just merely stands up for herself, people are like, whoa, angry black woman. So just stuff I would have never known. And she's cool. And I learned a lot, and it's a fun conversation. And yeah, I think you guys will really, really love her. So without further ado, give it up for Tatiana Taylor. Tatiana, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to be here.
I feel like we're new friends just via email and podcasting.
We are. I feel like we're friends. Like, I was like so excited that I got to like reach out to you to like do this, because I've been wanting to like speak about it, and I've been watching your Instagram, and I was telling my friend, I was like, Rachel has like really came through, and I was like, if anyone needs to know how to be an ally, it's Rachel. Because I was like, she's legitimately doing so much like research on her own. She's posting things, and I was like, I can tell that she truly cares. And it was just like, yeah, like I was very like, oh my god, it's really good to see people that you support support you. And I was really happy that I was like, oh my god, like Rachel's being so supportive of us, and it's really refreshing to see
that. Thank you. That makes me feel really good, because there's like a sense of nervousness to like, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Like, I hope just by caring and wanting to learn, that's, you know, and, you know, I've gone to several protests and stuff too, but yeah, you just get, I think you get nervous to be like, am I doing the right thing? Is someone going to get mad at me right now? But I guess it doesn't matter if your heart's in the right place.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you've been doing things perfectly. Like, I feel like I can definitely tell you've been like educating yourself and doing research and really trying to like learn more. And like, I know you've been watching like movies and stuff. Like, some of the movies you watched, I haven't watched yet, because it's just like a horror movie. I can't, like, it's like When They See Us, because I have a son who is six, it is truly like a horror movie to me, because I'm like, that could, heaven forbid, that could be my son one day. Like, so there's a lot of things that like I see like people who are white, like they're watching, and I'm like, I love that they're watching this, because I haven't even watched these things, because I'm just too freaked out and scared to watch it. Like, it's literally like watching The Exorcist, which I refuse to watch as well. So
Yeah, I understand that. Like, you can't go there. You already know the reality of it. You don't need it played back for you.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so the point of us talking, besides just getting to know each other better, is I just want to hear, I just want to hear from you. Like, I want to hear about your experiences. And I mean, I have some planned questions, but I did like the stuff that you sent me that you wanted to talk about, because only you know your experience. So
like, me and my friends were saying this the other day, like, her friend wanted to go to Long Island, and she was saying how, like, she was like to her friend, like, we can't go too far out, like too far deep, because the deeper you get into Long Island, like, the more sketchier it gets for me, like, especially if you're of color, because, like, a lot, like, there's a place in New York City, like, Cairo Beach, where it's infamous for, like, not being fond of Black people. And, like, I still refuse to go there now. Like, I think it was, like, in the 1960s, they beat up a Black man, like, a bunch of people on the, over there. Wow. I refuse to go there now. Like, I went to get my eyelashes done one day, and it was, like, oh, Cairo Beach location. I was, like, I'll go to Jersey. Like, I was, like, I don't drive. I was like, I'll go to Jersey, like, because it's really scary, like, knowing that some places, even in New York City, that you, or even in New York, rather, that you can go, if people will look at you side-eye and not treat you the way they would treat somebody else. Like, so that's a little scary. And then, like, even while, like, traveling to, like, different countries, it's always making sure, like, research and, like, how are they going to treat us because we're Black, or is it safe to even go here for people who are Black? Like, I recently went to Colombia, but Colombians are coming, like, they come, like, white like you, so, like, as dark as me. They all come in all different station sizes. So there was fine, but there's a lot of places, like, I'll, like, look up, and I'm like, I don't really know how this will go. Traveling here, like, would I really be safe? Is this a smart decision for me to go to? So, yeah, it's, like, that along with, like, even being, like, at work, making sure, like, if you haven't, like, I remember, like, it was not so long ago, we were talking about something at work as far as, like, how our job was reacting to COVID. And this girl was like, well, I think our job is doing a great job. And I said, no, like, the people who work in the factories, like, it sucks that they have had to choose, like, between working or not, or, like, not being paid. And I was like, I just hit her with a bunch of facts about, like, what they could have did better. And she was like, oh, my God, calm down. And I was like, I'm literally texting you and a chat. I'm not even on calm. I'm actually sitting here, like, just drinking, like, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not on calm. And she was like, oh my God, calm down. Like, no one has to be aggressive. And I was like, I literally am not. Like, and I was like, this is why a lot of times at work, I don't speak up or say an opinion, because I don't want them to, I don't want to be the angry Black girl. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot of times when you just express an opinion that you and I could say the same thing, but because I said it and I'm standing up for myself, I could back it up for facts, it's misconstrued.
Mm-hmm. Because so that's already like, a preconceived notion of like, even if you're saying it just as calmly as you're saying it to me now, like.
Exactly, yeah. And literally I was talking like this, I was like, it wasn't even like a video, it was literally just like in a work chat. And I was just like, no, like they could have did better. Like these people have families and she didn't like any of the facts that I gave her. And she was like, you just have to calm down. And I was like, but I'm literally not even angry. Like it takes a lot to make me angry actually. But which is one of the things like you have to always remember at work, like don't be too black, quote unquote, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's that people just don't want to hear stuff they don't have to think about? Like they don't want to have to think about like being a factory worker, which is probably predominantly more, you know, lower income white people, I'm sure, in there, but it's probably Hispanics, people of color, yeah. Black people, you know, I'm sure that's the case. And they just don't want to have to think about it, or?
I don't know if she didn't want to think about it, but I think she was just acting like, oh, like our job is so great and they're doing so much to help. And I was like, but they're not, like, I was like, they're like staying open. And I was like, they actually don't really need to be, because like for what we do, people don't need this right now. Like,
yeah.
During this time, I was like, we could have just closed, like, and just left it at that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't feel like what they did was correct. I feel like the way that they kind of took too long reacting with COVID, even with us in the office, I feel mm-hmm. like New York City and New Jersey was in a state of emergency and we were still at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I was to say, I was like, I don't feel like our job did a great job. And I just don't know if she just didn't understand like how it can feel for like minorities who actually like live paycheck to paycheck and need this money and had to choose between like, it was a news article. One guy was saying he had to choose between working and making money, but then his wife just had two newborn babies, like twins.
Oh God, yeah.
Like I was scared of contracting it to bring it back home to him. I said, that's really messed up. Like he should have definitely been, even people were like, I don't mind working, I live alone. The people who were scared should have been paid out. Like that's just how I felt. Like they should have been paid out, because it's not any of our faults that this happened. It's just 2020. Like,
yeah. I think something you said just a few minutes ago really rung true, that I can see that basically, she was saying that we should just be grateful. It's a great job. Like her brain cannot see past that's just probably how her life's always going to be.
Yeah.
Like she's probably never going to have to work in a factory. Like that's not on the radar. So it's not on her radar at all to even think about that, which is very, very sad. I mean,
it's I remember she mentioned like her mom was a nurse, and I was like, there's a difference between being a nurse and a frontline worker and really doing a different job and making a difference and working in a factory right now that does not need to be open. Like mm-hmm. you can't compare the two, but mm-hmm. I don't think she got that point, because like she came from like a pretty well-off family. She was studying to be a lawyer at one point in her life and then just stopped. So mm-hmm. like I can tell like her, like she never would have to probably really think about having to work in a factory, and luckily neither have I. But I can sympathize with people who, just because I'm a human, just because I'm like,
yeah,
that sucks that you have to think about like, should I make money or contract this disease to my kids? Like, it's stuff that's where it came down to.
Yeah. But I also think you're the type of person that, like, yeah, you've never had to work in a factory, either have I, but I'm certainly not above it. Like, if I had to make money, I'd have to make money. And frankly, I could listen to podcasts all day and just do whatever the work was.
Exactly.
I actually had thought about it at a certain point. I was like, I could just listen to what I want to listen to. I could listen to true crime and just do whatever you do in the factory.
I've thought about that as well. Even at work, what I do now, I'm like, I can do this. Like when I have to do like emails, I'm like, I'm going to listen to a bunch of podcasts and forget that. I don't remember I'm supposed to be on the phone. Like I, a lot of times I like just listen to podcasts because I don't want to be on the phone. So I'm like, I'm just going to email because I'm doing my work still. So I did it now.
So funny. No, but that's interesting what you say about factory workers. I'm from a super small town. In Oregon, and the only major cases of coronavirus that are in my small town right now that my parents still live in are their Hispanic factory workers. It's spread quickly in that space, and it's really, my mom said it earlier today, she was like, it's really sad that the predominantly the people in our hometown that have it are Hispanics, because they're working in the factory. It's just sad. It's
super, like not good conditions either, and it's like,
yeah,
it's so easy to contract this disease, and it's like, it's because they still have to work. Like a lot of minorities still have to work to like you know, make ends meet because they have families. So like, luckily, like when this happened, I got to work from home, and then I was like, hey, I'm not gonna work anymore, and I'm fine. Like, I'm fine. All my bills are paid. I'm great. Mm-hmm. But I know that's not the case for so many people. That's not the case for so many people, especially people who are in factory workers who are Hispanic. Mm-hmm. That's not their case, and it sucks that like they have to still do that and they're contracting this disease though.
Yeah. Did you know that 30 million women experience hair loss, but it's not openly talked about? So going through it yourself can feel lonely and frustrating, but it's time to change the conversation and join the thousands of women standing up for their strands. I know for me personally, it's not just about genetics. There's many factors that can play a role in hair growth, like stress and hormones, and in my case, my thyroid condition and the fact that I bleach the heck out of my hair. But Nutrafol targets multiple root causes of thinning hair at once. Nutrafol, I'm so excited. I'm starting their program and I cannot wait to tell you guys about my results. Nutrafol is formulated with potent botanicals to help you grow hair as strong as you are. And it's physician formulated to be 100% drug free. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug free, like I said, and they use all natural, clinically effective botanicals for better hair growth through whole body health. On top of thicker, stronger hair without lasers or chemicals, Nutrafol's ingredients may also help you get a handle on better sleep, stress, skin, nails, and libido. Visit Nutrafol.com and take their hair wellness quiz for customized product recommendations that put the power to grow thicker, stronger hair back in your hands. And when you subscribe, you'll receive monthly deliveries so you never miss a dose. Shipping is free and you can pause or cancel anytime. Does it work? Yes, 77% of women saw improvements in just 90 days. That's amazing. So what does control of your hair growth feel like? 79% of women reported more confidence after 6 months of taking Nutrafol. Even if you aren't experiencing thinning hair, Nutrafol can help you grow thicker, stronger hair. And who doesn't want that? Whether you're experiencing thinning or not, you deserve hair as strong as you are. And Nutrafol can help you achieve your best hair growth naturally. Okay, you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support Be Here for a while by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code Be Here to get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere, plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com with promo code Be Here. Their best offer anywhere, 20% off at Nutrafol.com. That's spelled Nutrafol.com with promo code Be Here. For hair as strong as you are. You're blessed enough to live at home with your mom. And, but you must, if you want to touch on it, you must have stories of what it was like. Well, you know what? I actually don't want to say when it was worse, probably when your mom was growing up, because was it? I mean, if you talked to your mom about it, like, I would think if I just had this woman, Bridget Davis, on my podcast, and we were talking about, because she wrote this book about her mom running the numbers in Detroit and her growing up as a young black girl there. And one of my questions to her, and she actually answered it before I even asked it, was she did not think in a million years, basically, that she'd be living through pretty much what was supposed to be done now. This was supposed to be. So. Yeah. Have you talked to your mom about her experiences? And
A little. She was telling me, like, my mom went to a school that's not too far from here. And back in the day, it still kind of is. It was predominantly white. Mm-hmm. And I think she's one of, like, the few black kids that went there. And she was saying, like, she made friends, like, with the white kids and stuff. And she remembers, like, one day she's seen, like, they had left this, like, this elementary school. And they were, like, maybe in middle school. And she's seen a girl, like, on the bus and was like, waved at the girl, like it was a white girl, and she was like, were her friends that were also white, and like the girl ignored her, and just little things like that, like how like my aunt had a friend that like used to live in like our neighborhood, which isn't the best, and like she was white, she moved out, and like they seen her at the movie theaters like 4 months later, and it was like, hey, and like they were calling her name, and like the girl like just ignored them, but the girl that she was like her friends, and they were like, hey, like they're calling you, and she was like, I don't know them, but it was like, you did. So it was just like little things like that. My mom has like gone through as far as like with racism and stuff, like I guess not wanting to acknowledge they had a friend that was black, like pretty much like just little tiny things like that, like my mom has gone through.
that's a, you're saying it's a little thing, but that's the kind of stuff as like a little kid that just like erodes your confidence, like little by little, like you remember that stuff. And even if you don't like consciously remember it, you subconsciously remember what that felt like.
Yeah. My mom has always been a person like has had friends of all races and nationalities and ages and whatever. And like, I mean, she still talks about that to this day, and she's in her 60s, and she's like, I remember that the girl just straight up ignored me. Didn't say anything to me, like act like I was she didn't know me. I was just crazy or waving at her. So I mean, it's not a little thing, but she's never thankfully experienced like anything like super like racist or anything like that. Like it's always been like little microaggressions, but just still just as that. But she's never been like called out of her name like the N-word or anything like that. Like it's just been like small things that maybe like she didn't realize at the time when she was like a teenager like that this is what racism is, but she's like, as an adult, she looks back and she's like, oh, like she realized like now, like the girl was racist or just didn't want to talk to her because she didn't want her friends to know she had a black friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any experiences from your childhood personally that happened to you that resonate with you?
So I went to like, when I was in elementary school, I had a bunch of friends that were like Hispanic and black. I didn't really like make like my first friends that was white until like middle school. Mm-hmm. And like they all treated me like the same, but I didn't realize at first that we don't have the same type of hair. Like my hair is very curly right now. Mm-hmm. So like I used to straighten my hair like when I was younger because like I wanted straight hair. And like my friends would like put mousse and gel and hairspray in their hair. And like I would do the same thing because I wanted to have hair like theirs. But I didn't realize like that's not for your hair. Like it was like the products that have like harsh alcohol, like that Suave, like mm-hmm. back in the day, like the 90% whole.
Yeah.
I used to put that in my hair and like try to look like them. And like, I have so many pictures. I look such an idiot. And my mom would be like, stop. But like, she knew I had to just do it and whatever. And I was just trying to fit in with the girls in my school. Like they were never like nasty to me, but I just realized things like that. Like until like I got older, I realized, oh, like we are different. We have different types of hair. I can't do what they do with their hair. Mm-hmm. I can't sit there and mousse and gel and hairspray my hair every day and wash it every day like I was doing mm-hmm. because I wanted to fit in with all the girls in my school that I've had became like friends with. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I like grew up like finally. I'm like, oh, like when I came older, I was like, oh. That's like I realized like that's my like, I think I first realized like, oh, like we're different. Like it's not just like it finally started resonating with me as I got into middle school, like, oh, okay, not the same, can't do what they're doing. Like,
yeah. Now when you entered the job force or when you went to apply to, did you go to college?
No, I went to college.
I'm not saying that. I went to college and I've never used my degree. I don't think it's, and also no one in my family went to college, by the way, besides me. So
I went to college twice. And after 6 months around midterms, I drop out.
I probably wouldn't better off. I don't, what am I using a political science degree for? I barely watch the news. So
at least you have it. I just want to say I have a degree and I can never get through midterms. I'm always like, this is too much.
Trust
and
me, it's not worth it. Okay. Well, okay. So college aside, did you feel any difference when entering the workforce on like job hiring that?
I get jobs because of my name. Like I get interviews because of my name. Because my name is Tatiana. I won't say my last name, but I get, because my name is Tatiana, people mm-hmm. never think that I am black. I remember I had a guy because I've worked in the bank for a couple of years before like, I got into what I'm doing now. And a guy was like, I thought you were a Russian girl that married an American man. And then he seen me, he was like, oh, clearly you're not, but I thought you were a Russian girl. And I remember before I worked at another bank and an old Russian lady was like, I was really excited because I thought you were Russian. So I realized I get a lot of jobs because of my name mm-hmm. and I don't put down my race. So a lot of times I get an interview, it's because just the strength of my name.
Wait, so you get the interview based on your name, but you've never had an experience where you felt like you didn't get the job because then they saw that you weren't a Russian girl?
Honestly, no, because I think I've conformed. Like, I won't wear my hair curly on an interview. Like, I wanted braids before, and my cousin works at HR, and she was like, yes, it's illegal to discriminate, but she's like, you can't prove the discrimination. So, like, I will make sure when I'm going on an interview, I have my hair back in a bun, or I have my hair straight. Like, I won't wear it curly because a lot of times it's deemed unprofessional, but it's like, this is my hair. Like, this is how my hair grows out of my head.
Yeah, like what?
I didn't dye it pink and I'm coming here. Like, my hair grows like this.
Yeah.
So I think I've conformed. So, like, I will look more, like, presentable so that they will hire me. I think it's something subconsciously that I've done is to make sure that I look like I'll fit in and, you know, won't cause trouble or whatever the bias they have already in their head. Mm-hmm. I try to make sure I fit in enough that, like, I'll get the job, which I guess in a way is just fucked up. But yeah, I won't, like, wear my hair curly for a while. Even after I get the job, I won't wear my hair curly for a really long time. Like, it'll take like six, like, my job now, I started working there last June. I didn't wear my hair curly until this past February.
Mm-hmm.
I have not, because, like, I always want, because I want to fit in, and I feel like a lot of times when, like, they start standing, even when I did wear my hair curly, everyone, like, that wasn't of color in the office, like, was like, oh my God, you changed your hair. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, it's just hair. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever been discriminated against because of my race, thankfully. I mean, I could be wrong. But I do try to tone down, like, who I am at work just because of it, though, because I don't want them to act, I don't ever want to be like the angry Black girl at work.
Mm-hmm. yeah that makes sense. I mean, I'm surprised, I guess, that you don't have any experience like that. That's a blessing, that's good, but maybe it's because you had to change yourself, you know, like yeah. It's still pretty fucked up. I mean,
being a woman of color, I think, as my friend said to me, she's like, it's the hardest thing. I was saying this to my friends the other day, and my friend said it to me yesterday. She was like, it's literally the hardest thing. Like, the most disrespected woman in America is a Black woman. Because, mm-hmm. like, we have to be there for everyone, and we're expected to do everything for everyone, and, like, really, like, come through for everybody. But at the end of the day, we get so much hate, and there's so many times, like, I look online, even for people, like, who are, like, even darker than me, they'll, like, I see, like, the Instagram comments, like, oh, it's the month, like, this is a bunch of stupid things that mm-hmm. you'll see, like, when people are trying to insult you. I remember one girl, we were supposed to be friends, and we got in an argument, she called me a frog.
I've never even heard that term.
So neither did I, and then, like, me and my friends, like, Googled it, and it was, like, I guess, like, it's something that, like, people who are racist will do for people who are Black and of color. Call them animals, like monkey, frog, or whatever. And yeah, I mean, she was like, you're a frog. And I was like, but it's just like,
God.
And it's someone who I was supposed to be friends with, and we got in an argument, and it's like, it's just things like that. Like, it's really hard to be a Black woman in America. Like, I will say that all the time. I've said it to my friends many times. I'm like, you have no idea. Like, it's hard being a woman, but you put on top of that being Black, and mm-hmm. it's like, you have everything riding on your shoulders, and you get no respect.
Yeah, you said that in your email back to me about questions, and it made me think about just in every, God, even in real life, but also in any fictional movie that you watch, and the Black female character, the mom, is the strength of the family. It's like soul food. It's like that movie. Yeah. Like, it's that she's holding everything together. Everyone else can fall apart, but she's got to hold it together. It's like, it does seem like the absolute toughest job, honestly.
It's the reason, like, my friends was like, she was like, and I know she didn't mean anything by it. She was like, oh, you're a strong Black woman. I was like, can you not say that to me? I was like, because I feel like that's like what, like, people use that to be like, oh, you can endure anything and take all this abuse because you're a strong and you're a Black woman. I said, just like you, like, I cry. Like, I cry, I get emotional, I get, like, sad, and I get just, like, I get down. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I really hate that thing of being, like, a strong Black woman, because it's like, we're not allowed to be feminine. Like, we're not allowed to be angry. If we're angry, we're angry Black women. But if it's our counterparts, if they're angry, it's sexy and, like, ooh, it's so hot. But if I'm angry, it's oh my God, this angry Black girl. And it's just like, I just want to be, like, loved for who I am. Like, I want to be able to be angry and not act like comedy. You know, when she get angry, she get all ghetto. And it's like, it's just little things like that, that, like, you have to deal with being a Black woman, which is, like, literally, like I keep saying, it's so hard to deal with, to, like, keep your composure and keep your strength to be like, like,
you just blew my mind in so many different ways right there. Number one, I would have never known that calling someone, saying to a Black woman that you're a strong Black woman would be, like, somewhat of an insult, but I can see now how it would be. And where my brain is going is, like, I'm thinking in terms of, like, I'm going to try to relate again. In dating, for example, I tend to be tougher than the people I date. Like, I'm just, like, less emotional and, like, just, I don't know. I just am sort of like, all right, let's get on with this. What do we need to do to make things better? Like, that's the way my brain works. But then at the same time, I resent how I feel in those relationships because I'm like, well, I just want to be like a girl. Like, I just want to be like a sensitive girl.
I am that person who's really strong and like, I'm very like, I got this. I'm not that emotional. But at the same time, I'm always like, but I just want someone to be like,
yeah,
come here. Like, you deserve for me to cook you dinner or take you out to eat or
exactly
whisk you away for a week. Like, I want someone to like do those little sweet things, like plan me a surprise for, and I want that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, because most of the time in my relationships, I am tougher than like my partners,
yeah,
or like I'm the more the breadwinner than my partners. I don't get that all the time.
Yeah, yours is like times two though, because now I'm seeing that like in any respect, like first of all, everyone's expecting you to be the strong one, regardless of no one's expecting that of me outside of maybe in a relationship, but like. Or maybe friendships, I don't know. But like, so you're just expected to be strong black woman. Like, that's what you do. Like, that's what we see in movies and all of that. And when you want to just be, you know, comforted and just be like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even just feel like dainty or like, I don't know, just like that maybe you need something from someone as opposed to like you're doing the giving. So number one. Number two, when you also said like, for example, a white woman gets to go in screaming fits when she feels like it, she can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you were doing that, people would probably be like, whoa, crazy, crazy black lady. What's going on here?
Exactly that. Like,
but I know what you're saying with like, with Latinos, they're so fiery. Oh, it's exactly. So sexy. It's
exactly.
So sexy.
It's like, yeah, exactly that. Like and it's like to hear that people that you support, that necessarily don't look like you, don't understand why Black Lives Matter or why like Black people are just saying, stop killing us. We just want to live. We just want to have a life. And I want to be able to not worry about my son going outside. I want him to, I would love for my son to be like, I'm lost. Let me go to a cop and not have to worry about him being shot and stuff. But to hear people like not act like they don't understand or they're quiet or they do things that's convenient for them or they do things that's like, very Karen-ish of like calling the cops on somebody for stupid reasons, like things like that. I don't think people really realize like how dangerous that is for people of color. Like mm-hmm. literally it's one of the most dangerous things. And on top of that, cops really don't care about people of color. I feel like a lot of times, I remember I had a domestic situation where like I had an ex who like bit my lip.
Oh.
And I went to the cops, like my lip was swollen, disgusting. And make a long story short, the cop who had my case changed stations, and my case to this day has not been seen. Nothing. Like, nothing's been done to it. And it's just like, because I live in the inner boroughs of New York City, I feel like it wasn't really paid attention to. But had I been somewhere else or of a different race, mm-hmm. they'd probably been like, oh, what? Oh my God, no, stay here, and arrested him right away. Mm-hmm. But because I felt like because I was black and he was Hispanic, nothing mm-hmm. came about it. And it's just like, just even little things like that, like it's hard being a black woman. And
that's not a little thing, that's a very big thing. Like that is,
I guess I have a way of like things that happen to me just being desensitized to it.
Yeah.
And I find humor in it now. Like I can laugh about it, I'll make a joke about it, because I'm just that person, like strong. I can take something and I keep rolling. I'm just like, whatever, it happened.
Yeah.
Nothing about it. On to the next thing. I just can keep going with it. Mm-hmm. But it just sucks that when you see people in the spotlight, even like other celebrities are like, there's a singer who has not posted anything
mm-hmm.
on about anything going on. It's just like, it sucks because it's like, I like you. Like you're mm-hmm. a singer. I like your show. I've watched you on E, and it's like, you just don't support people that look like me. Mm-hmm. Like you don't support people who look like me at all. And it's like, I'm still a human, like mm-hmm. I'm a person as well. And it's just like circling back to being like the whole, oh, she's a Latina, she's hot and spicy and did it. And it's like, I can be spicy. I can be sexy too. I'm not just an angry black woman. Like I can have that, you know? And it's just, we don't get that respect. It's like Michelle Obama, who has like 2 degrees, how people used to like shit on her so much, calling her a monkey and this and that. And it's like, she's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I've been told by most people I look like her, and I disagree. But
I mean, I think she's beautiful. I don't think you guys look alike, though.
I don't see it. Like, I've been told by people, they're like, you guys look alike. And I was like, no, you don't. Just say I'm pretty and go about your day, sir. But, like, even her, like, has many people will call her a monkey and talk about her so horribly. And she's one of the most educated first ladies we had. Like, mm-hmm. the most disrespected woman in America is a Black woman. Like,
it's so sad.
It's mind-blowing.
When you were saying about, like, you had your lip bit by your ex, which is just fucking terrible and horrifying, and the cops didn't pay attention, I've been saying this for a while with, because I mean, and anyone that listens to a lot of true crime knows this too. Like, hey, it's really sad what happened to JonBenet Ramsey, but can we stop fucking talking about it and start paying attention to the thousands of other little Black girls that get, like, no one talks about.
Like, so many get sex trafficked, so many get kidnapped. Like, what happened to JonBenet is so sad. Like, that's a sad story, but she was such a
cute
girl.
Obviously, so sad. But we talk about, there's podcasts dedicated just... It happened, what, 25 years ago? Yeah, just dedicated to her. There's TV shows, movies, whatever. There's so many little girls and little boys that have gone missing, that have been murdered, like, that no one talks about. It could make me cry. Like, it's just unbelievable. Like, to me, that is one of the major things that you, like, okay, because we think, like, oh, so white people just want to see, like, oh, why did this little pageant queen, why did something bad happen to her?
She's so good, and it's so annoying to see that. And it's just like, I know last year it was like a whole thing going on, like, with, like, I don't know if it's happening in LA, they were saying that Uber drivers were sex trafficking, like, women of color. Like, it was a lot of videos going around Instagram and, like,
fuck,
things
really?
That, like, be careful. Like, even to this day, like, my Uber driver, I went to my friend's house the other day. He was being really weird. He was like, are you going home or are you going to meet your friends? And I was like, I'm meeting my friends, all of them, a lot of them. And I remember I sent, like, to my, I have a group chat. I sent it to them, and then I sent it to, like, one of my friends. I was like, hey, my Uber driver is being weird. If I don't show up or I don't hit you guys up tonight, just make sure, like, you have this. And, like, it was happening, like, a lot in the city, in, like, big cities, that, like, they were taking girls, especially, like, they were, like, late night, they were, like, drinking. They were taking them and, like, kidnapping them.
God.
Do, like, Uber and, like, Lyft and stuff. It was like a whole big thing.
Jesus.
And it never got any news coverage. Like, never got really
any news.
That's
what happens a lot too. Yeah. I watched the documentary on the Grim Sleeper. Okay, first of all, I'd like to say that it's very rare that serial killers are Black men. They're mostly white men, although
yes.
although there was Sam Little and the Grim Sleeper. But besides that, there's about hundreds more white guys that are...
There was a serial killer who was Black, and he killed... Because he was a rich Black man, he killed poor Black people, which I thought was very ironic. But
I don't know who that one is. I know Sam Little operated, like, around, like, like, Kentucky-ish, I think. Or that's where he was caught. And then the Grim Sleeper was in, like, South Central Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he mostly was... sexually raping and murdering Black sex workers. And it took the media, I actually don't think they cared about it for maybe 20 years until they just decided to care about it and then pretended like, oh, we finally got a lead on this guy. And it's like, no, they just straight up didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't care that because they were Black sex workers. They didn't care.
I mean, it's the same thing with Black Lives Matter. Like, people have been chanting and rallying since, I think, Trayvon Martin was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I went to, like a protest, like, I at first didn't truthfully, honestly get it. Like, I got, like, it was sad that he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just, like, I didn't get, like, the uproar until, like, I started, like, just looking up stuff and, like, just hearing about, like, because I was like, oh, he'll be killed. I was like, he'll go to jail. Like, I was like, he's going to be found. Like, I just knew he was going to be found guilty. Like, I'm not saying a man's name, but I was like, he'll be found guilty. It'll be fine. And then, like, once he wasn't found guilty,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, this is why everyone's pissed. This is why everyone's like out there protesting and everything. And then it kept happening, like, with Tamir Rice and everyone else. And then hearing about, what was his name? Oscar Grant, the movie Fruitvale Station. Like, even hearing about that, and that happened, like, a while ago, just hearing all about that and, like, doing the research on all of those people, Mm-hmm. I was like, this is why everyone's out here. And this is why, like, we have to sit there and come together and, like, tell people, like, look, our lives matter, like, Black lives matter. Mm-hmm. And now recently, like, people are joining. And I think it's great that people now are beginning to care, because the more allies I think we have that aren't of color, mm-hmm. is the reason why people are hearing us now. Mm-hmm. And they're beginning to give a fuck. Like, to be very blunt, that's why they're beginning to care, because we're getting so many people to sit there and be like, no, like, I'm not Black, but this is fucked up. Like, this, mm-hmm. this is horrible. Like, even with George Floyd and how he cried out for his mother, I feel like anyone that has a heart, mm-hmm. I don't see how anyone can watch that video and be like, he deserved that. Like, I don't care about, like, if you have a heart, yeah. give someone a call for their mom, who was, I didn't know she had died like 2-3 years ago before this. So to hear him go out for his mother is just like such a heartbreaking thing that I don't understand how anyone can act like it's okay and not a big deal.
I think some people are just monsters, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't understand that either. I mean, I've had people message me too, like when I've posted stuff being like, okay, well, you know what? Everyone has the same opportunity if they work hard. No, that's not fucking true, because systems are in place. They have been for hundreds of years. Maybe it will get, hey, if we stop it now, then maybe your son will have a better shot. Yes, it's getting better, but like even just, did you listen to my podcast with Bridgette Davis?
I honestly know, because I have not gone anywhere.
No worries. No worries. You should listen to it or read her book. She's incredible. But like, she talks about how just even buying a home the neighborhoods. Back in the day, you had no equity in the home, and they could take it from you immediately. All that stuff. Well, guess what? You're not getting to build generational wealth that way. Like, as much as like you, it's not like my parents certainly don't support me, but like, will I maybe get to have equity in one of their homes, like after they pass, which I don't like talking about. They're never dying. Just take cancel clear on that. Yeah. Cancel clear. But like, they've also been able to, you know, help me out when I needed it. Like, it's not like generational wealth is a thing, even if it's not huge wealth. Like, we don't have huge, but like when you're set up to just not, when you're set up to have to work harder to make the same amount of money or even less money, and then you can't even get the same home loan. And that was just in like the 60s and 70s. Like, that's not that long ago. So, well, I guess you were younger, but like, your mom, whatever her parents had, like they were heavily discriminated against. Your mom definitely, like, it's getting slightly better, but it's still, we're still.
Yeah, my grandmother's from the South. Like, my grandmother grew up in Virginia, mm-hmm. and she came to New York by herself when she was like 18. My grandma's a badass.
Oh, that's cool. Tell me about her.
She came to New York when she was like 18 or 19 by herself. I think her brother came with her, but he like left like after a week. And she like went from like cleaning houses into like, she retired as a nurse. She retired when I was like 2 years old. But my grandmother, like, I will say, like, she worked so hard for everything she has. She is one of the, like, she's someone I truly admire, because I'm like, she literally, like, she had a kid young. She had my uncle, like, she was like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, she left him with her, like, her parents, so she could like come, because she wanted to give him a better life than being down south. I think it's amazing how my grandmother was like smart enough to know, like, this is not the life she wanted. So she came to New York, built shit up, and then like when she was like settled, she went and got my uncle and came back here. And she went from like cleaning houses and just doing odd jobs to being a nurse. She like retired with a great bank account, I know, because I man her finances. Mm-hmm. And like, she worked so hard for everything she has. She lives in an apartment now, like, for old people, but like, she literally did everything like on her own, and I think it's amazing.
I
know she had like had it hard, like, because she used to like work like on like fields. She says, like, I used to work on the fields and things like that. I don't ask her many stories because her stories are very long, and I love my grandma to death. Now, old people never can get to the point, mm-hmm. but yeah, she definitely like was, she's one of the strongest people I know in life. Like, she truly is a strong woman. I hate saying like the strong black woman thing, but she truly is so strong. Mm-hmm. And even like when her and my grandfather got divorced, like, she had to take care of like 4 kids, and she did it, like, mm-hmm. she did it by herself, and she's the best.
That's really cool. I mean, I think there's no shame in saying that you're strong, but I understand the connotation of like, you're a strong Black woman, you can handle it, can be
very... Yeah, that's the connotation I hate, that they act like I'm supposed to I can handle everything because I'm a strong Black woman. I'm like, that's not the advice I want. I want you to tell me, like, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And if I fuck up, it's fine. Not like, you're a strong Black woman, and, you know, because I asked my friend to help me fill out something. She was like, say, you know, you're a strong Black woman. And I was like, I'm not writing that because it's not what I want to, the vibe I want to get. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Not who I,
like, you
I
want am, just straight up equality, like you just want to not have to be like hey, I'm Black but I'm super strong and guess what, I'll be so good at this. Be like, come on.
Like, I'm like, I'm just fun, like, I'm like, I'm just am who I am, like, I'm good because I'm good at what everything I do, because not because I'm Black, I'm just good at it. It's just who I am as a person. Yeah. It's nothing to do with my race, it's just who I am, like,
yeah.
But like, I mean, after I educated her and told her like, please don't say that to me, she was fine, but it was cool. just like please, yeah, don't do that for me. It might be personal. Maybe some people out there are like, no, I love being called a strong Black woman. But for me, I just feel like it takes away my femininity. And I feel like I'm very feminine. I'm very girly. Like, I get my nails done, not right now because, you know, COVID. Mm-hmm. But like, usually I have my nails done, my eyebrows done, my eyelashes, and like everything done. So I'm like, I'm very feminine.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we touch on a little bit? So you have a 6-year-old son?
Yes, my little boy.
My best friend. Aww, that's so cute. So tell me a little bit about like raising a young Black male right now. Like
I haven't had any conversations with him about like the police stuff because he is 6 and he still really doesn't get it. But I know that one day I'm going to have to like have that conversation with him. And I hope that by that time I do have that conversation with him, it'll be a different type of conversation. Mm-hmm. But I definitely like worry about like as he gets older, if things don't change, what his life can be like. Or like when I see like things like got like men down, like Tamir Rice and stuff, like being shot by the police and they're like 12, it's really scary because I'm like, my little boy now, everyone, I no matter what race they are, they'll tell me how cute he is. I remember one of my first Mother's Days, I was in Burger King and like this white guy was like, I'm gonna buy your food. I don't know why, he just went and just bought my food, and it was like really sweet, and he was like, happy Mother's Day, like, and he was like with his family and stuff, and it was like nice. But like, people of all races tell me how cute he is and, oh, he's so adorable. But I'm like, I know one day those same people who aren't of color that are telling me he's cute will see him and be like, oh my God, like, and be scared just because of his race. And I'm like, and it worries me and freaks me out. And it's part of the reason why when I got pregnant, I didn't want a boy. But like, it freaks me out that like one day someone might see him as a threat and take his life away. And it's like scary to say cancel clear that, but like it's a reality that like I know can happen because there are ignorant people out there. And even if it's not a cop, just like the jogger in Atlanta who was killed, like it's a reality that can happen. And something I'm like, even like I'm like, I want to move out of New York. I'm like, I gotta remember where I'm gonna live. Like, if I do North Carolina, I don't know. Like, it's just a scary thing to have to really think about and process when you look at your child who, to you, it will always be a baby, but you're like, no, one day someone can see him as a threat and he's not doing anything. Like, he's jogging, trying to like stay fit.
Yeah. I feel like that is like maybe one of the better examples of just like white privilege, in the sense of like, I don't think any mom that has a white son has to think that way. Like, I mean, obviously there's other worries, but like, I don't think that's really a worry. And I think that's one of the most painful, painful worries a mother could possibly go through.
Yeah, like my, I have cousins who are Black, Italian, and Irish. So I have a cousin, she looks like, even if you see her and me together, people never think we're related, but our mothers are sisters. And like people would treat her differently once they find out she's Black. Because like she was raised by her mom and like she's very proud of, like she'll tell like people, like, I'm Black. Like she'll tell them, but like you see her, you're like, who's this white girl? Like, I've had people say this to me, like, who's this white girl with you? And I'm like, my cousin. And like, I remember she was saying, like, she had a friend, like she had a boss, sorry. And like the boss used to like love her. Like if she was like at work, if she wanted to go to like lunch before everyone else, she came in after, her boss would let her, all this stuff. And one day my aunt came to visit her, like to bring her something. And her boss was like, who was that lady? And she was like, oh, a mom. And she was like your adopted mother? And she was like, no, my birth mother. And she was like, oh. And since then, my cousin was like, after that, her boss started treating her differently. Like, like when she'd be like, oh, I'm hungry, you know, can I go to work? Can I go to lunch early? No. Like, she would tell, like, she wasn't like as friendly and nice and opening to her because she realized my cousin, my cousin lives in Atlanta, Georgia, because she realized my cousin was half black, she started treating my cousin differently.
I mean, it's just so gross. Like, I just don't understand what it is. Like, what is it like, oh, now I have to treat them like shit? Like,
you liked her before. Like, she's still my cousin's a snob. Like, she's still the same snobby person she was before. So I don't understand why now you don't like her, because she's half black. She's a half black snob. Like, she's still such a snob. Like, my cousin's one of the snobbiest people I've ever met in my life. Like, she's such a snob. Like, you still can like her. Like,
yeah.
But it was like, my cousin had green eyes and she dyed her hair blonde a lot. So, like, at that time she had green eyes and blue hair, and blonde hair. So you're like, oh, okay. My aunt came in and my cousin started being treated differently by her boss, which is, to me, insane.
It's absolutely insane. Well, we're going to wrap up, but I want to ask you a few more questions. And thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, honestly.
Yeah, never mind. I can't really contribute anything to your podcast. I was like, I'll be a guest on yours, but like, I don't know what it's like to date in New York.
I've never dated in New York,
but yeah, I'll do it. And we'll just make it not in New York. I'll have plenty of other stories. Because isn't it basically like dating in New York?
Yeah, it's dating, sex. Like, you're a comedian, so like, you definitely come on. And like, we're going back to the studio this Tuesday, actually, so I'm so excited because I'm tired of being at home doing this shit.
Yeah.
But we could definitely, like, we would love to have you on, because like, you're still a comedian and you still are a woman and you have to deal with weirdos just like me. So
absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I'd love that. Okay, so last two questions. If you could tell any white girl your age one thing that would help them to understand what it's like to be a black woman, what would it be?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I feel like I just gave you a pageant question.
I do feel like I'm in a pageant. Well, you know, I want world peace now. what it's like to be a black woman.
What the difference is. Like, what... I mean, obviously we've talked about many differences, but like, if you only had like one opportunity to be like, this is what's different.
You can express your opinion without anyone thinking you were angry or loud, or you can show any emotion without anyone looking at you like, look at the angry black girl, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can be yourself, essentially. Like, you can go to work and you can be yourself and not have to worry about, oh my God, am I being too black, or they're going to look at me like, what is she doing? If mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer. And then what do you think, like, what do you need? What do people, what is your family? What do you think the best thing that white people or just anyone can do right now to help further this movement? Like, what would be like?
I would say educating yourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people listen to this, follow you on Instagram. If you don't know what to do, I would say follow you, like follow what you're lead, like what you're doing. Like, I know that you're reading books and watching movies. And I will keep saying, I love that you're doing that.
Thank you.
Just like I seen an article today by a wrestler. He was like, your black friend is not your Google. Like, right now you have a black friend. We are all tired of people, like, you know, looking for us for answers and trying to explain this and that. Just Google things, guys. Like, mm-hmm. if you can Google how to dye your hair, you can Google, like, how to be a better ally. Like, it's really not hard. And like, even if you don't have a friend that's of color, just as a human being, like, just mm-hmm. research and read. Watch 13th on Netflix. Watch When They See Us on Netflix. Like, I personally haven't watched them because I just can't. Mm-hmm. But even the Khalif Browder story, just watch that about the boy who was in Rikers Island and, you know, ended up committing suicide because of the unfair criminal justice system. I just keep educating yourself from reading and signing petitions and just keep standing up for us. Like, if you see someone who's black and of color in trouble, and or you see them having issues with cops, just stand there. Just stand there and be like, I'm just going to hang out until you guys are done.
Yeah.
So make sure you're good. Just be there for them.
I love that.
Just be there and support them. Like, you don't know what to do. If you see someone that's black in a supermarket or something, they're having issues, just stand there and be like, I'm just going to stay here, you know, make sure she's okay or he's okay until this transaction is done.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. I think that's great advice. And hopefully that does scare cops and other people enough, because we all have cell phones now too. So
yeah, exactly. Like, take your cell phone out.
Yeah, we'll catch you. Yeah.
Like, go on live, go on Instagram live. Even if you only have two views, go on Instagram live and let people know. Like, I'll just go to Instagram live so people can see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that is the best way you can help.
I think you ended this brilliantly. Like, that is, that makes, yeah, that makes so much sense. That's perfect. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Tell thank my listeners where they can, they can find you on social media, your podcast, all that stuff.
Okay, so Cats and Dolls comes out every Wednesday. It's about sex and dating and relationships and all the weird shit that happens in NYC. And you guys can follow me on Instagram at Tatiana Taylor with two R's. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing this. Let's stay in touch. Like, yeah, I'd love to hear your podcast. And yeah.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.